You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, we're going to turn our attention to a condition that affects, would you believe, one in 15 of us. It is SAD, S-A-D, or Seasonal Affective Disorder. And, of course, January is the peak month for this condition because the days are short, the weather is typically pretty bad, and that whole lack of sunlight and blue skies and sunshine really, really gets to some people, and they find it particularly hard on their mental health. Well, my next guest, Niamh Devereaux, has been investigating this condition as part of a series she's doing for Irish Country magazine on women and various health conditions that affect them. And Niamh is on the line now to talk to us about SAD. Niamh, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be chatting to you today.
Absolutely. Me too. And listen, tell us first of all, what exactly is SAD and how might somebody know that they have it? What are the signs?
Yeah. So I suppose even the acronym SAD, it kind of minimises what it is. You know, it's a form of depression, and it's just what makes it stand out really is that it's triggered by changes in the seasons. And it actually also does exist in the summer. It's just less common. But I suppose in late autumn, winter, when sunlight starts to, you know, be reduced, our internal clock becomes unsettled. So really, I think when people start to experience the kind of flat, unmotivated, tired symptoms, they can blame themselves and think they might be, you know, feeling a bit lazy or, you know, it's their fault. But actually, it's a biological thing, right? So serotonin, our feel-good hormone, is reduced with that lack of sunlight, and melatonin, our sleep hormone, is increased. So I suppose what it does to us is it disrupts our internal system, and that leads to lethargy, depression, changes in our appetite and our sleep pattern. And like I said, it's not something that's even within our control. It's a biological thing.
Now, I thought what was interesting, and I hadn't seen this before until I came to your article, was that you interviewed a number of women who have it. What kind of things were they telling you they were experiencing, Niamh?
Yeah, so I suppose Groundhog Day came to mind of one woman. It's a bit like a vicious cycle. You know, your alarm goes off and it's really difficult to get up. Craving comfort food, and then just not really having any energy to do anything in the evening. So it just, like, days kind of blend into one another. And then another woman working in an office, you know, going into the office surrounded by artificial light for most of the week, and then leaving in the dark in the evenings, and just, yeah, not feeling themselves and their usual nature, more irritable, more negative, and, yeah, just kind of struggling to find that bit of hope, you know, that we all need. So it's something that I suppose a psychologist I spoke to for the piece as well, Fergal Rooney, he says that what they actually refer to, professionals, they say SAD is a depressive disorder with a seasonal pattern. So they wouldn't really even refer to it as seasonal affective disorder. It's a depressive disorder with a seasonal pattern. So it's not to be waved off as being just a bit down, because it manifests the same as depression, you know. And another person I spoke to for the piece, GP, Dr. Sumi Dunn, she said that if people are saying, you know, I'm just having a bad few months and kind of, you know, pushing it off, but if this is something that happens every year at this time of year, then it is seasonal affective disorder, likely is. So, you know, it is something that you don't want to just brush off. You don't want to just say, ah, I'll be grand. Like, you don't need to suffer. There are ways to get help and to kind of, you know, start feeling a bit better.
Yeah, and speaking of that, in an ideal world, Niamh, we'd all love to have a villa in Lanzarote that we could, you know, jet off to for the month of January and February to escape the gloomy weather over here. But the reality is most people can't do that. They've got work, they've got children, they've got family commitments. So what are the remedies? Now, I know that you talk about light therapy in the article, but what exactly is that?
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of people might scoff when they hear about these SAD lamps, because they might just have it in their mind, and, you know, how's that going to help me? But actually, the experts say that there is compelling evidence on their positive impacts, but they have to be used consistently and correctly. And it's not just any lamp, you know, it's not just any kind of light that you put on. It's a particular lamp that has 10,000 lux of light, which is units of illuminance. For example, indoor lights are less than 1,000 lux, so it's very bright light. And what you need to do is, as I said, be consistent with it. So sit with one, for example, at your desk in the morning for 30 minutes to an hour, quite close to your face. And what it does is it mimics sunlight. So that effect on your brain, it helps to suppress that melatonin, that sleepy hormone, and in turn then that regulates your mood. So I suppose, you know, ask a professional for one that they recommend. But another point that Dr. Sumi made was that some beds are not included in this because, you know, she has found that people might think that sun beds are something that might trick your brain into thinking they're on holidays. But actually, we all know the effects of sun beds in other ways. So,
yeah,
you know, avoid those, but do look into these sad lamps because at least if they have 10,000 lux of light and if you use them every day every morning, they actually could end up having a really positive effect on your mood.
Okay, so that's one thing you could do. And heading off to Lanzarote or somewhere is another thing you could do.
Yeah.
And I know that, of course, we moan here about the lack of daylight, but we're doing far better off than the Scandinavians, for example, because in some parts of Scandinavian countries, they have even less daylight than we do. And I know you mentioned that as well about the Scandinavian attitude towards SAD in your article.
Yeah, I suppose, like you said, it might seem like we're in the dark a lot, but in Scandinavian countries, they're, you know, that's just something that they've come to accept as normal. You know, it's a very long period of darkness, and they, I suppose, have had to adapt their mindset a lot of the time with how they live. And I've just mentioned a tradition that they have there. It's called fika, and it's taking time out of your day to pause, enjoy a hot drink and a snack. And I suppose I don't mean to minimise the severity of this condition of seasonal affective disorder, but it's all these kind of things that are in our toolkits that we can turn to. And that tradition in Sweden is really social connection, which is really, really important to keep up, even if you don't feel like it. And there, you know, that's one of the many things that Dr. Rooney mentioned about ways we can treat seasonal affective disorder other than the lamps, which is things that you may not feel like doing, but they will really and genuinely have an effect, a positive effect on your mood. So having that social connection and making it a regular occurrence in your day, getting out into the daylight, into nature, even if it's 15, 20 minutes a day, even if it's cloudy, you know, it will have that effect on you. And also to reduce your screen time, because I know a lot of us are addicted to our phones, but our phones, it's having, you know, negative impacts on us in more ways than we even realise. And obviously, one of those ways is our sleep. So, you know, our sleep pattern is already affected by the lack of sunlight. So, introducing the screen time into that is not helping. And, yeah, reducing our screen time. And, you know, it's funny because I'm seeing everywhere at the moment this trend of going analog and kind of putting our screens away and turning back to things that, you know, we would have done years ago, and books, magazines, you know, all those kind of things at night could help to kind of get into that nice sleep routine and kind of try and, yeah, just give yourself as much help as possible to cater to this.
And those light lamps that you mentioned, the SAD lamps, as they're called, Niamh, are they easy to come by, and are they expensive, or do you know?
Yeah, no, there's a lot. I mean, there's lots of brands that you'd kind of recognise the names of, like from Beaure, is it Beaure?
Mm-hmm.
Philips, you know, they do lots of them. And there's a brand called Lumi, which specialises in them. You can get, you know, I suppose from, I'd say, €50 maybe to, you know, €200. It depends. They might have different kind of elements in them. It might be like alarm kind of wake-up lamp. Hybrid that you can buy, for example. But as I said, it's really down to the light. So if it has at least 10,000 lux, then, you know, I don't think you need to really worry about the most expensive one. But like I said, ask your, you know, GP or professional what their advice would be, if they have one in particular to recommend. But also, I thought it was important to note as well how we all need to be supplementing ourselves with vitamin D, which is a very affordable way to kind of tackle this too. And a really good point that Dr. Simi made to me in the piece was, again, there's no need to splash out in the most expensive box of vitamin D supplements. Like, you don't need to get the one that everyone sees everywhere on social media. As long as it has 800 international units on the pack, it doesn't matter how flashy the branding is. That's, you know, that's going to go towards
That's what you need.
And boosting your mood.
Yeah. Very good.
I think that's good to know. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there's you've given us some very interesting solutions there. And, you know, it's great that you did a kind of an in-depth study into it and spoke to people who are walking the walk, as it were. That article is in the current edition of Irish Country Magazine, which, of course, comes with the Irish Farmers Journal. Listen, Niamh, great work.
Sorry to point out.
Oh, yeah?
We're Irish Country Living is in the Farmers Journal. We're the Glossy Mag.
The Glossy Mag. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, people always mix them up. Yeah, Irish Country Living is in the Farmers Journal. And actually, can I just point out as well, just really quick, if people are really struggling, you know, and they hear me talking about lamps and going for walks and they're kind of rolling their eyes thinking, I've tried all that, go to your GP, because they might feel that you need to be prescribed antidepressants, you know, and they might feel that you might benefit from cognitive behavioural therapy. And, you know, like I said at the end of the article, nobody has to face the dark alone, and brighter days are coming. And just remember that by the end of February, the sun will be setting 5:30, March 6:30. April 7:30, so you know that light is coming back, and just to kind of keep that hope.
Hang in there.
Exactly.
Good advice, Niamh. Listen, well done, and keep up the good work with Irish Country Magazine. Great to talk to you. Thanks a million.
You too. Thanks.
That is Niamh Devereaux there, who's deputy editor of Irish Country Magazine, and she's doing a series of very good articles about health issues that affect women in particular. But this month's one is about seasonal affective disorder, which affects men and women. And apparently something like 1 in 15 of us actually have it. And we mightn't even know that we have it. We might just think, oh, I always get a bit depressed in January. But you mightn't know why. Well, there could be a very good reason for it. And those are some great ideas Niamh presented there. Well worth checking out that article if you get a chance. Now, Brendan has been very busy with your questions. Hopefully he's come up with a few solutions for you. We'll be back with those, and we've got some of your comments to read as well.